The Weekend Line with Brad Taylor on ESPN 92.5 and 1300.
ESPN Radio, 92.5, 1300. I always liked the pig pen guy. You know, the guy who walked and the big trail of dust came up behind him? That's my favorite. But don't, if you're a kid, don't watch Snoopy Come Home. It's very emotional. I had a tough time with that one. Weekend Line with Brad Taylor. Sports talk from a handicapping perspective. Good morning to you. Thank you for joining us bright and early on this Sunday. And 6 days left until the aforementioned Christmas Day. We are very grateful that the good people here at LM Communications are giving us the day off next Christmas, on next Saturday for Christmas Day. Oh, what a godsend. Oh, thank you so much. But we'll be back here a week from today on Sunday to get ready for the NFL. That'll be week 16 at that point. It's still tough to get used to the fact there will be 18 weeks this year in the NFL season. You always say, oh, week 17, that's the last game. No, now it's week 18. And there's 17 games. It's still hard to get that through your head. But, yes, so 6 days until Christmas Day. We will not be here on the 25th. We will be here on the 26th next Sunday. 14 days until January 2nd, our favorite day of the year. Yes, my middle name is Scrooge. Thank you very much. And if you listen to this show on a regular basis, you understand, kind of, sort of. But 13 days until Kentucky football has their big bowl game against Iowa. And we will have that game. We'll have the UK football pregame show on that one on that day. And we will be here on this show to preview that game as well from a handicapping perspective. But on today's show, it's an NFL Sunday and Monday and Tuesday. And I hope they're not playing on Wednesday. But it would be nice if they played every day. But our arch enemy and nemesis, Dead Air Dennis Dillon, he will join us later in the show around 9:30 or so. And we will discuss every single NFL game for the rest of this week 15. We'll discuss every one of them yet to be played from a handicapping perspective. Dennis has been doing very well against the spread this year. So be in your interest to pay attention to what he says. Kentucky football mysteriously quiet right now after gloating all week about their recruiting classes. Hey, can we have another two-hour-long War and Peace-type press conference? Patting ourselves on the back there, Coach Stoops. Yeah, good job, but yeah, we got it. The betting public continues to doubt the Bengals. Should we, as handicappers, as investors, should we doubt the Bengals like everybody else seemingly is throughout the country? And, of course, the most profitable segment in Lexington Radio, our Mac Daddy Stogie Picks, NFL Week 15 edition. All that and much, much more coming up on this week's Sunday edition of the Weekend Line with Brad Taylor. As always, we thank you for listening. But first, 288 days. Kentucky basketball got a big win in the desert yesterday. We don't mean against the spread. Well, we do mean against the spread. But in the desert, I mean out in Las Vegas. If you missed yesterday's show and our tribute to Viva Las Vegas and Elvis, got you in the mood. But Kentucky totally humiliated a seemingly undermanned North Carolina team by the score of 98 to a very nice 69. And the Kentucky covered the spread early. They stayed up there, and they covered early and often. And finally, we mean finally, cashing in on a Power 5 game for the Big Blue Nation gamblers. Tipping off, this game tipped off with Kentucky being a 3-point favorite in this one, shockingly enough. We saw some late money come in on North Carolina in this game. This line was up to 3.5, but came down to 3 by game time. So Kentucky now sitting 8-2 on the season and still not the massive money pit that they were before, but still kind of the money pit of 4-6 against the spread on the season. And, of course, against the Power 5 teams, they're still struggling. 1-2 straight up, 1-2 against the spread. But this morning we look at the old KenPom ratings, our favorite, of course. They're 14th now. They were 21st yesterday. So a good game, both on the scoreboard and in the analytics world for Kentucky. But now it seems like the world is changing all over again. The COVID is making another huge comeback. None of us want to go back to March of 2020. That was a sad time for all of us. That was the time the world changed. The depressing time. And it seems like we're almost going to be back to that very soon here with the new COVID going around. And it's a depressing time for America. Saturday Night Live last night, they did not have a studio audience. How depressing can you get? Are we going to go back to these pre-COVID times of March 2020 when basically the whole world shut down and all of our lives changed? Whether it was for the better or for the worse, it depends. But do you remember those times? Gas got down to about a dollar a gallon. Supermarkets were the only thing running full speed. And most other businesses were closed. And a lot of those never even reopened. But for today's purposes, let's just go back 288 days. 288 days ago, March 6th, 2021. Yes, it was still this year. The major headline of that day, of course, was COVID-related, except it was a stimulus bill that was on track to pass to give us all a little extra cash in our pockets. Because we'd gone through too much with this COVID. We need some cash. And it thereby would help us all live our lives and do something, you know, that we couldn't do before because all this COVID ruined it. Uh-oh. We're not the political show. We don't want to talk politics on that show. We're not like the fanboys across town. We don't talk politics here. You're tuning in to ESPN. You want to hear sports. You want to escape the political world. You want to escape all that stuff. We know why you're here. You want to cash tickets, too. But of all the top news stories 288 days ago, they were all bad news. Most of them, of course, COVID-related. Vaccinations, they're going to help. The mask mandates have helped. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo, harassment scandals. The economy trying to recover from COVID. Worldwide protests for various different reasons. Just the usual banter you've heard over the last couple of years during all this COVID misery. But 228 days ago, a long time ago, but it was a very special day also for Kentucky basketball and the Big Blue Nation as well. Because before yesterday, 288 days ago, was the last time Kentucky defeated a Power 5 opponent, dominating, of all teams, South Carolina here in Lexington, across the street at Rupp Arena that had not been yet called the Cupcake Factory. But that time was coming, and it's already coming. Well, we don't want to say it's gone yet. But South Carolina last year was in the middle of a miserable run themselves, just like Kentucky was. They were finishing up a 6-14 season, 4-12 in the SEC. But hey, it's a Power 5 win, right? It's a conference win. We don't care if we were playing the worst team in our conference at home. We, Kentucky basketball, we got a win. And don't forget this, Big Blue Nation. You think South Carolina stinks? Yeah, they do. They're not nearly what they used to be. But South Carolina made the Final Four in 2017. Kentucky last made the Final Four in 2015. So don't go throwing stones until you look in the mirror. Just saying. But yesterday's game, Kentucky beating North Carolina, was it more Kentucky domination? Or was it more North Carolina just not having it yesterday, with it being in quotation marks? Our friend John Clay of the Lexington Herald Leader, who's actually out in Las Vegas for this game. I hope the blackjack tables brought in some extra black chips. I'm sure he was playing $100 a hand blackjack all night long. I hope that he can take the escort to the airport after all his winnings. But John Clay quipped that three teams failed to show up for the CBS Sports Classic, UCLA, Ohio State, and North Carolina. Uh-huh. I see what he did there. Yeah. That's why he gets paid the big bucks at the Herald Leader, I guess. But it does bring up a valid point. Was this game more Kentucky playing well, or was it more North Carolina playing poorly with a new coach getting used to things? And, of course, a win like this is a time for John Calipari to shine as only he does. Because for at least one night, Coach Cal was the king of Vegas, just like Elvis. And the old Cal, not the Cal we've seen the last couple of seasons, but the old Cal came out last night in his little post-game presser. "Oh, I told Hubert Davis that this was the best game we played all year by far." Way to go, Coach. "I'm sure that made old Hubert feel great about himself, Coach." "Oh, was that trying to make him feel better?" "Nah, you probably made him feel a lot worse." "Why did they play so well?" "Probably because the other team didn't play well to begin with." But it didn't just end at Cal. Sevier Wheeler, who was easily the best player on the floor last night, but he was quoted after the game as saying, "I play for the big lights." Okay, hotshot. Don't break your arm patting yourself on the back. Yeah, you played a good game, but don't say things like that. They usually come back to have a way of biting you in the tail. By the way, those big lights you talk about, they were on last week, too. They were on when you were on national television playing against Notre Dame on ESPN. Not the SEC network, not ESPN2. You're on ESPN, the regular ESPN. How did those lights, they weren't as big enough for you? Uh-huh. How'd that turn out for you last week? "I play for the big lights." That's like me saying, "I talk for the big lights only." Huh. I'm lucky they keep the electricity on here in the building for me on weekends. The only guy around. These are the kind of comments that often come back to bite you in the tail, Sevier Wheeler. But only in the games that are not in the big lights, I suppose. I guess the cupcake games is what he's referring to. I don't know. Was Notre Dame a cupcake game? Not really. Oh, well. Of course, not all is perfect with Kentucky basketball after such a big win last night. Our old friend, Dante Allen. Where do we start with this kid? Dante Allen, kid from Kentucky. We talked about him a lot on this show last year. Why wasn't he playing more? The times he did get to play, you know, sometimes he actually was the best player on the floor at points. Led them to a couple of wins, single-handedly. But when Cal brought in the walk-ons at the end of the game, Allen did not play. In fact, allegedly, Dante Allen was asked if he wanted to play, and he refused. Cal said he was totally fine with that. Uh-huh. You believe that 100%? Maybe 99%, but do you believe it 100%? I want to give Dante Allen a little public service announcement here from somebody who's not connected to anyone or anything around here. Just transfer out, dude. It's for your best interest. I know it was a lifetime dream. It's a lifetime dream for every great basketball player in high school in the state of Kentucky. Every one of them wants to play at the University of Kentucky. I wouldn't have, but I wasn't a great player. But if Cal didn't play you last year, when the program had the worst season in the history of the school, what makes you think he's going to play you now? Wait a minute, weekend line guy. Derek Willis, he stuck around. Dominique Hawkins, he stuck around. Those were Kentucky kids. They eventually played at Kentucky. It's a little different situation. This is more like Johnny Juzang. I wonder whatever happened to him. He got booted out of Kentucky, basically. Wonder if he had gone somewhere. Oh, wait. I wish he had gone somewhere to flourish. Wait, he did, didn't he? Johnny Juzang was one play away from being the most outstanding player of the Final Four on a national championship team last year. So, yes, sometimes there are sunny pastures and wonderful horizons and beautiful sunsets just by leaving town. Would you fault Dante Allen for transferring tomorrow? You would, but you probably shouldn't. Why should he keep doing this? And what does this say for Reed Shepard, who 22 months from now will be playing here at the University of Kentucky himself? Another Kentucky kid. This time, a Kentucky legacy kid who basically had no other choice but to go to Kentucky because of his family situation and all kinds of other stuff. You think he feels good right now seeing Dante Allen being treated like that? Oh, but he's better than Dante Allen. You don't think Dante Allen thought he was better than Dominique Hawkins, Derek Willis? Never ending. I've seen this act many, many times in decades with these Kentucky kids playing for UK. But now, We move forward. We don't look back. This is a show. We're a preview show, not a review show. We're trying to predict the future here. We live through the windshield, not the rearview mirror. But we move forward now. And with this COVID making a comeback that we hate and despise, this whole thing, we just hope that we get to continue to have sports talk on this show and about betting on sports. Because I remember we started this show. We've been here now since July of 2020 doing this show. And all we had at that time was Major League Baseball starting up in late July. But somehow we survived through our growing pains. And we're full blast right now. But we just hope the world of sports and sports wagering keeps going. But let's move forward. A game that's going to happen this week on a Wednesday night. I don't know why they play these games on Wednesdays. They used to play them on weekends all the time, I thought. But Kentucky and Louisville. And it'll be right across the street here at the Cupcake Factory at Rupp Arena. Well, what happens historically? Let's try to handicap this game 3 days in advance. It's okay. We can look at a few things. We look at Chris Mack at Louisville. He's caught a lot of flack. Get it? Flack, Mack? Yeah, whatever. Trying too hard. But he's caught a lot of flack at Louisville for some things that's gone on, the Dino Gaudio thing, some other things, how he clowns Kentucky sometimes when it's the timing's not right. But given this, at Louisville, he covers the spread 52.5% of the time in his days at Louisville, 42-38-4. It's not terrible. That actually makes you a very, very, very small profit. This year, Chris Mack, 7-4, straight up. But only 5-6 against the spread. Not living up to expectations this year. Louisville will be an underdog in this game on Wednesday night. I can promise you that. As an underdog at Louisville, Chris Mack, not very good. 11-16 against the spread. That's 40.7%. Of course, this game will be here, so it's a road game. Road against the spread, Chris Mack, 50%, 16-16-1. In these non-conference games against the spread, Chris Mack hits 46.2%. 12-14-3 ATS. That's against the spread. So let's add them all up. Chris Mack in his days at Louisville, on the road, as an underdog, non-conference. That's exactly what he is on Wednesday night. 2-3 against the spread. And against Kentucky, Chris Mack 0-2-1 against the spread, closing as a 3-point favorite against Kentucky in Louisville last year. And they only won that game by 3. So the closing line was 3. I know a lot of people got it a little cheaper than that. We may have been one of them if you're listening to this show. But this line closed in the desert with Louisville minus 3 last year. So the desert even knew last year that Louisville was better than Kentucky. So this is a spot where Chris Mack, not exactly his best spot. But John Calipari in this spot. Wait a minute. This is usually where we go down the historical data where Cal kills you out in the desert and you'd be living under a bridge just hoping for your next box of ramen noodles. Yes. That's what we always talk about in certain situations, especially all the situations that he's faced this year, the cupcake games, and he never covers the spread. But in this spot, Cal doesn't actually kill you. You won't have to wonder if you have to retire from sports gambling just to take up needlepoint or something. He doesn't make you a millionaire, but he does not kill you. And with Cal against the spread, that's actually a good thing because it's rare when he does not kill you. John Calipari, in his days at Kentucky, as a home favorite versus non-conference Power 5 teams. Against the spread, it's happened 21 times, so it doesn't happen often. An average of about 1.5 per year. 21 times Cal's been in this spot. He's 11-10 against the spread. 52.4%. What? 52.4%? That's a profit. All I need is 52.38 to make a profit. Are you okay, weekend line guy? Are you okay, gambling boy? You're always killing Calipari. Yep, because the numbers say we should. But here's a spot where Cal actually, for once, lives up to expectations. There's others, and we'll get to those in the season when they exist, when they come about. But there aren't many of these spots where Calipari, you could look at him and say, hey, this might be a spot where you want to actually take Calipari against the spread. There aren't many of them, so when the rare occasions come up, you got to point him out and give you don't want to say the devil his due, but you got to give him his due. And Kentucky will be favored here over Louisville on Wednesday night. And under Cal, when Kentucky plays Louisville at Rupp Arena and is favored, it's happened three times. All three times. Calipari's teams won and covered the spread. This week will be the fourth of this of these little occurrences. But do you trust Cal to cash in again in this spot? History tells us you might be wise to lay the number in Cal against Louisville based on what we just went over. And give Louisville credit at least for playing a tougher schedule than Kentucky. The Cards have played four Power 5 teams, and they've gone 3-1 against them this year. The only problem is they've also lost three times to non-Power 5s, including at Western Kentucky yesterday in a game where they just seemingly didn't have a chance based on everything that had happened. You really think that Western were going to lose that game based on all they've gone through the last week or so? Yeah. It was almost from coming down from beyond, if you know what I mean. But we as a people, we believe in recency bias way too much. The line on this will be overvalued this week because everybody just saw Kentucky crush North Carolina. So everybody's positive about Kentucky again. And we just saw Louisville lose by double digits to Western Kentucky. So nobody's going to rush to the window going with Louisville. But they might not be getting too many points, will they? KenPom says Kentucky will win this one by 7. And I project this line right now to be Kentucky favored by anywhere from 7.5 to 10 here. Could be anywhere in that little range. But Kentucky will be a sizable favorite. Is that enough, considering Louisville just lost by double digits in a game they were supposed to win? Louisville was favored over Western Kentucky yesterday. Granted, only by 1 point when they tipped off. But Louisville was still the favorite there. We'll have much, much more on this game from a handicapping perspective during our weeknight show on the new Sports Zone station down the dial, weeknights at 7. You know what we're talking about. But Kentucky basketball and the Big Blue Nation should feel very good today. The Cats just won big. They just covered the spread and finally got a win versus a Power 5 team for the first time in 288 days. And as we have seen during this COVID era, a lot can happen, and a lot can change in the world in 288 days. And with a game coming up Wednesday night against your in-state rival, a game in which Kentucky will be a decent-sized favorite, you better win this one going into Christmas. Because the cupcake games don't exist anymore, other than that gift that Tubby Smith and High Point will give you on New Year's Eve. So if you're Kentucky, although you don't need to necessarily cover the spread on Wednesday, only for the gamblers, you do need to win the game, as Herm Edwards says. You play to win the game. Because a loss to Louisville on Wednesday for the second consecutive year would set this program back a long ways. Probably about 288 days. And nobody associated with Kentucky basketball wants to go back to that day. And that's the weekend line. ESPN Radio 92.5 and 1300. The Weekend Line with Brad Taylor. Sports talk from a handicapping perspective. Kentucky football still working in silence, getting ready for their bowl game. Now only 13 days away. Can you feel the anticipation? Maybe. Still a long ways off. Cats still holding strong. 3-point favorite. Total 44. But the local football team that gets the spotlight today is the Bengals. 7-6 straight up. 6-7 against the spread. So they're costing you money in the desert. They've dropped two straight, and they just lost to the 49ers last week in a game that they probably should have lost in regulation. Then once they got to the end, they probably should have won, and they still wound up losing. Failing to cover as a one-point home dog in that one. On the flip side, their opponent today, the Denver Broncos, 7-6 straight up, 7-6 against the spread. They're 4-2 in their last six games, having just crushed the Lions, easily covering as a 12.5-point home favorite. This line opened with Denver, short favorite, 1.5 points at home. We've seen this line rise from Denver minus 1.5 to now Denver minus 3, signaling that the sharp money is on Denver today. Broncos only getting 41% of the bets, but over 50% of the money, indicating low bets, higher dollars, the sharp action, we like to call on this show. For those looking to follow the sharp action, but wary of laying the points, Denver money line. That might be a little bit for you, but then again, you'll be a chalk pusher. Total has not budged. It's been 44 all week. Denver 10-3 to the under this year, while Cincinnati 7-6 to the under. This game, obviously, big playoff implications for both. The AFC seeds right now, Cincinnati would be number 9, Denver number 10. But this game, it's going to sound like a broken record. The Bengals have a puncher's chance. 3-point dog here. If this was 2.5, we'd love to take the teaser, but you don't get as much value as 3. You don't get to take it through the 3 and the 7. Good tee spot for Cincinnati. But, man, Teddy Two Gloves, we'll go over his numbers a little later when our arch enemy Dennis Dillon joins us for NFL picks. Teddy Two Gloves, he is a very good investment against the spread. So this was a tough one to call, but if you put a water pistol over ahead, I guess you got to take the Bengals in those 3 as long as it stays 3. If it gets to 2.5, I'm out. And that's the weekend line. ESPN Radio 92.5 and 1300. Weekend Line with Brad Taylor. Sports talk from a handicapping perspective. Coming up after the break. You know what time it is. You're not here for my loving and caring voice to give you holiday wishes. You're here to make money and cash tickets. And we will help you do just that. The most profitable segment in Lexington Radio. Our Mac Daddy Stogie Picks. That's next. Right here on ESPN Radio 92.5 and 1300. ESPN Radio 92.5 and 1300. Weekend Line with Brad Taylor. Sports talk from a handicapping perspective. Trying to get these Christmas songs out of here as soon as possible. Oh, thank you. The band stopped playing. Yes, we are Scrooge here on the weekend line. When we're winning, we get more in the Christmas spirit. When losing, the world is terrible. Why are you here? That kind of thing. Time now, though, for the most profitable segment in Lexington Radio, our Mac Daddy Stogie Picks. Name that because you can light up the victory cigar before the game ends. Little college basketball before we get to the football. Number 1, Baylor, rallied. The second half, they pulled away from one of our favorite teams and coaches, Dana Altman, in Oregon last night. 78-70. Baylor ended up a 7-point road dog in this one. And, the road favorite in this one. And they barely covered at the end. The only upset in the top 25 last night, Hofstra, goes down to Arkansas and defeats the Razorbacks. 89-81. Hofstra, a 12.5-point dog in this one, and they won by 8. That was the only top 25 team to lose yesterday. This is a bad week for college basketball, other than Kentucky-Louisville. There are not very many interesting matchups the week before Christmas. Only interesting game today, number 17, Texas and Stanford. They will play in the same arena that Kentucky and North Carolina played at out in Vegas yesterday. Texas, 9.5-point favorite. 129 is your total. You want to talk about cupcake schedules. Take a look at this cupcake factory that Texas has played. It's Gonzaga, Seton Hall, and 7 cupcakes that would make Kentucky's schedule look like Murderer's Row. Just go check it out. Stanford is not a very good team. They just had to go to overtime to defeat Dartmouth at home earlier this week. Maybe they were looking forward to getting to the craps tables out in the desert. Slight lean to the Cardinals of Stanford, or Cardinal, singular, I'm sorry, and the neutral court under, if you're so inclined and need the action in college basketball today. College football, the bowl games. The favorites and dogs split yesterday straight up, but the dogs went 4-2 against the spread. So that was a good day for the dogs players, especially our picks. We loved UAB versus BYU, and we were all over that. So far in the bowl season, the dogs are 6-2 against the spread. So that is a very advantageous position. By the way, the overs right now, also 6-2. So we like to play dogs and unders in these bowl games. So the dogs cashing, unders, not so much right now. But bowl games start up again tomorrow afternoon, 1 o'clock, with the Myrtle Beach Bowl, presented by Tax Act. The winners get to go ride go-karts and play putt-putt for half price on Monday night. Congratulations. It's Tulsa, minus 9.5 over Old Dominion. Tulsa, the better team here, by far. After a 1-6 start, they won their last 5 games of the season to get here. We talk about always the motivation factor. Tulsa has it. Old Dominion has it. But they're not, they're taking a big step up. Tulsa, they went 3-0 against the spread against Oklahoma State, Ohio State, and Cincinnati. Tulsa's the play here. They're the better team here. I'm not willing to lay at 9.5 points. If you are, congratulations. I don't lay 9.5 points in this or any bowl game. Yes, that includes Alabama and Cincinnati. Did I foreshadow a Mac Daddy Stogie? Maybe so. This is a money line Tulsa play at best. If you want to play that, maybe match them up with a Monday night game that we'll talk about shortly. NFL last night, though. Colts beat the Patriots, covering. They ended up a 1.5-point home favorite. They got up to as high as 2.5 before the game. So, yes, the Colts finally end the big streak for the Patriots. Favorites still lead against the spread on the year, but only 52.9% now, 109-97. The road teams, that's where you're making your hay, 56.8%, 117-89 against the spread. And under still hitting 54.8% in the NFL in the season. When Dead Air Dennis joins us, we'll talk about the NFL games against the spread. But this is a spot where we'd like to talk about the totals, the windy unders. We talk about those all the time. Over the last 20 years, they hit 55% when the mile-an-hour winds are over 10. And this year, they've hit 61%, 39-25. We've got two games today that fit this criteria. Baltimore against the Packers and the Giants against Dallas. This is another time of year where you like to play divisional games and go under the total in those. If you've done that in the last 20 years, you've hit 55%, 570 up and 472 down, including 30-25 this year, 55% on both ends. Who fits the criteria today? Tampa against New Orleans, Rams against Seattle, Chicago against Minnesota, and like we said a minute ago, the Giants against Dallas. So if you're looking to play some totals today in the NFL, we love the Giants and Dallas to go under the total, fitting both of our favorite trends. Look for win in Baltimore, divisional games, Tampa, the Rams, and Chicago. Those are your Mac Daddy Stogie picks, total style. And you can get those bad boys to the desert and smoke them. ESPN Radio 92.5 and 1300 Weekend Line with Brad Taylor. Sports talk from a handicapping perspective. Coming up after the break, it's our arch enemy, Dead Air Dennis Dillon from Classic Rock 92.1, and we will talk all NFL games against the spread on the Week 15 slate. That's next right here on ESPN Radio 92.5 and 1300. ESPN Radio 92.5, 1300. Weekend Line with Brad Taylor. Sports talk from a handicapping perspective. Now this is the Grinch. Even I got upset over the Grinch. Don't steal everybody's stuff, man. Anyway, I've never been called the Grinch. Maybe that's a good thing. I don't know. Our good friend Dead Air Dennis Dillon, he is a no-show today, which means he automatically forfeits. And I am officially the champion of Week 15 picks. He will be trying to call us in as the show progresses. But in the meantime, we can't just sit here and wait. We got to go forward. We will make our picks against the spread. Every single NFL game, all by myself, exactly the way we like it. Let's go down the list. Game number one, Carolina and Buffalo. Cam Newton and Josh Allen, your starting quarterbacks in this one. Public, they're kind of split in this one, mainly because Buffalo now a 14-point favorite here. And total of 44 in this one. If I look at this game, I say to myself, 14 points. You really have to prove it to me that I have to actually take Buffalo to cover this 14. It's either Carolina or nobody, if you ask me. I think we will go with Carolina in this one. Contrarian underdog, you know, the line's gone up. When you do that historically, you know, go against the public and you see the line go up instead. You hit 56% over the last 20 years doing that. But with this game in particular, Panthers have absolutely collapsed. They started 3-0, and now they've lost 8 of 10 and 2-8 against the spread in those last 10 games. Cam Newton, he's lost 11 in a row as the Carolina starting quarterback. That goes back to his previous Regency little stay there. And but Buffalo, they're a big disappointment too. And they should be a little bit more focused here today, after replacing their defensive coordinator or offensive coordinator in Carolina. Josh Allen dealing with a sprained foot. We don't know the severity of that, but they'll never tell us. We lean to the under, but I'll take Carolina the points here in this one. Carolina the points for game number one, Buffalo and Carolina. Game number two, the Jets and Miami. Zach Wilson and Tua Tagovailoa. I never say that name right. Public all over Miami here. Dolphins, 9.5 or a 10-point spread, depending on where you shop. This is a game where, you know, it's either Jets or nobody. Miami coming in off that late season bye. And prior to that bye, they had won and covered 5 straight games to shockingly go from 2-7 right back to where they're now in the playoff hunt. Nobody saw that coming. We certainly didn't. But the Jets, of course, they're the Jets. 3-10 straight up, 3-10 against the spread on the season. And of course, everybody around here remembers that win and cover against the Bengals seemingly a long time ago, but that kind of dictated the Bengals season right there. Miami defense really doing well. They've held opponents to five straight opponents to 17 or less. So do you honestly think that Zach Wilson will get more than 17 today? We'd lean the under. I can't take the Jets in this spot. We'll take the under. I love to take double-digit dogs, especially in the division. Not this case. We'll pass on this one. Game number three. Here's one we like. We talked about this one earlier. Under defense. Dallas and the Giants. Zach Prescott. Mike Glennon. Of course, the public all over Dak Prescott in this one. About 80% of the public money is on Dallas over the Giants here. You can find 11.5s most places. I see some 11s with some juice on it. Total 44.5. Yeah, like we said, we really like the under here. Both teams had misleading scores last week. Dallas was crushing Washington until they almost blew the lead, while the Giants trailed the Chargers by 30 in the fourth quarter until they got a couple of, oh, by the way, late touchdowns. It looks like, once again, that Mike Glennon will start for the Giants. That's not good news for them. He's now on a 1-15 run as a starter, straight up, as a starting quarterback. Dallas beat this Giants team 44-20 earlier in the season. They'll probably do it again. We'll take the under here. We love the under in this game. We're looking for a lot of defense. Mike Glennon is not going to put up 21 against anybody. Tennessee and Pittsburgh, our next game. Ryan Tannehill against Big Ben. Public, it's on Tennessee here. We've got the Pittsburgh Steelers, a 1.5-point favorite here. This game started, Tennessee was getting a little more than that. Now we see a little bit more with Pittsburgh. A little bit more on money on Tennessee to drop this line a little bit. When I look at this game, I'm thinking about taking Tennessee here. They're a great teaser play. You want to take a teaser play, this is the best probably the best on the board to take Tennessee as a teaser play in this one. But I look at this game, this might be a spot to take Pittsburgh. It was when they were getting a couple points. Now they're not getting a couple points. They're a dog. Excuse me, they're a favorite, Pittsburgh is now. And it's very difficult to go against Pittsburgh now. But don't look now. The Titans are the number two seed in the AFC. I never saw that coming. But Pittsburgh has extra rest. Following that near comeback against Minnesota, they played on a Thursday night. They're 6-0 against the spread as a home underdog, but they're not a home dog anymore. And Tennessee is teasing us. They might have Derrick Henry back soon. Yeah, this is a spot. I loved Pittsburgh getting a couple points, but now that they're laying a couple points, not a good spot for me at all. For us, it'll be Tennessee or nobody, but mostly on the teaser line, we'll take Tennessee. Here's a great game if you're a hardcore gambler. Houston and Jacksonville, Davis Mills and Trevor Lawrence, no more Urban Meyer, which means the public is all on Jacksonville now. They all think that Jacksonville is going to come to play. Jacksonville, somehow, some way, a 4.5-point favorite. Everybody thinks it's the old, you know, it's the old coach leaves town and everybody's happy thing. The Patrick Ewing theory from a coaching perspective. And now everybody's on Jacksonville. Do you trust Jacksonville to cover as a 4.5-point favorite? No, I don't. We have, you know, we thought this would have the lowest handle of any NFL game, but this whole Urban Meyer thing really set things off. Jaguars offense, with or without Urban Meyer, is terrible. And a big reason why the under has cashed 8 straight games for Jacksonville. That's enough to fire a coach in itself. Houston's no better with Davis Mills. The under is on an 8-3 run in these games for Houston. It's Houston and Jacksonville under or nothing. I'll take Houston to the points, though. You're going to give me 4.5. I don't care if they did fire their coach. I'm getting value with Houston. And our last 1 o'clock game, Arizona is going to Detroit. Kyler Murray and Jared Goff, not exactly the quarterback matchup for the ages. Of course, the public all over Kyler Murray and Arizona here. This line, you can see some 13s now. It's gone from 12.5 to 13. Public all over Arizona. Total 47 in this one. This is a tough game to handicap because you're just giving up too many points. The Lions are one of many teams dealing with the COVID issues this week. We saw a ton of money against them last week against the Broncos, and they were absolutely crushed at that one. Now they get Arizona off a short week and off a loss to the Rams. We would lead to the under, but Arizona 7-0 straight up, 7-0 against the spread on the road this year. and they've won all seven of those games straight up by 10 points or more. Expect more of the same today. Arizona might be able to name the score in this one. ESPN Radio, 92.5 and 1300. Weekend Line with Brad Taylor, sports talk from a handicapping perspective. Coming up after the break, we will go over the 4 o'clock games, the Monday night games, and, yes, the Tuesday night games. From a handicapping perspective, we'll try to get see if Dead Air Dennis has got his phone issues straightened out. That's all coming up next right here on ESPN Radio, 1300 and 92.5. ESPN Radio. Good Lord. This is what my life has come to, ladies and gentlemen. ESPN Radio, 92.5 and 1300. Weekend Line with Brad Taylor. Sports talk from a handicapping perspective. Let's get back to these NFL games real quick. Apparently Dennis Dillon's phone issues will not clear up in time for him to come on the show, and we are very sad about that. But if you go to ESPN, you can look up the bottom line, Lexington League, and you can get all of our against-the-spread picks. Dennis doing very well. So is the beer man from Classic Rock 92.1. They're both doing very well this season. Make sure to check their picks out. Mine are a little bit flawed because I haven't picked as many games, but it's very controversial, and we've discussed that. We'll discuss that when Dennis comes back next week, hopefully. But let's get back to these games. San Francisco hosting Atlanta. Matt Ryan, Jimmy Garoppolo, two Super Bowl quarterbacks under Kyle Shanahan. Both of which had unfortunate Super Bowls. Definitely the Matt Ryan one. Public all over San Francisco here. 70% of the money on them. If this line looks a little high than it should, it's because the Falcons have COVID issues. They're sitting right now 9-point favorites. I see some places are the Niners, and rightly so. The Niners have turned things around. They've won and they've covered 4 of their last 5 games. However, San Francisco is just 4-15-1 against the spread as a home favorite under Shanahan, including 0-9-1 against the spread, laying more than 5. So if or when Atlanta's COVID issues clear up, it'd be a good spot to take them. I don't know if they have or not, because a lot of guys, they're going to miss some guys today. But let's go down to Green Bay and Baltimore. We don't know who's starting at quarterback for either team here. And that's a shame, because it's Aaron Rodgers and Lamar Jackson. So who in the world would we ever want to pick in this game? Public, of course, all over Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers. And as we sit here now, it's a 7-point favorite Green Bay over Baltimore here. That tells you that Lamar Jackson probably is not going to be the starting quarterback, but we will not put anything in anybody's ear at this point for this one. This game kind of it's a kind of game where you want to look at this thing and say, man, I want to take the Ravens against the spread. Obviously, big issue here. Both status of both quarterbacks, and I think we have a caller to the line, and it could be our good friend Dead Air Dennis Dillon, who we'll get here in just a moment. Do we have him on the air?
Good morning, Brad.
Caller, you're on the air.
First-time caller, long-time listener.
Are you sure you're a first-time caller? Having some phone issues today, are we?
Yeah, and I was just knocked out from, staying up way too late last night. So I was not aware. My phone was dead, and the alarm doesn't go off, but your calls don't come in. So, yeah, hanging out to dry, man. I'm sorry.
Well, if you didn't block me every time, if you didn't have me on block on your phone, then we would be a lot better off. The cheap shots, we don't need those, Dillon. Just, I understand that you don't want to hear my voice, but I only call you for this football stuff. I don't call you all day,
Maybe if I didn't owe you so much money, I wouldn't have to block your calls.
That's a very good point. That's the main reason you're blocking our calls. Okay, we're going down 4 o'clock games right now. We got about 4 minutes left in the show. We have not hit the Bengals game yet. We were right on the Packers and the Ravens today. Both teams, they do not know who's going to start at quarterback. We've got the Packers, a 7-point favorite here. Public all over the Packers. Your thought on this one, Dennis?
I have no idea. If you don't know the quarterback, you're talking about the difference between Jordan Love and Aaron Rodgers, but I'll take the Packers. Why not?
You gonna lay the points? why not? That's called serious analysis, ladies and gentlemen. I'll take Baltimore. I think Baltimore getting the points here. But this is something we were talking about earlier. With this COVID, we don't know who's playing these games. We don't know who's, you know, going to be in the games. It's a good idea, don't you think, to kind of wait until the very last minute, especially these later games, later in the week especially, to kind of get your action down, if you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Yeah, I don't do anything before the week starts. I don't do anything. I mean, I just look at it. I watch it, but that's it.
Yeah, that's
you're right. You're right. I think Baltimore would be the pick right now as we speak.
Let's look at tonight's game real quick. New Orleans, Tampa Bay. Taysom Hill will start for the Saints, and Tom Brady, of course, for the Bucs. That means everybody's betting on the Bucs tonight. Bucs, 11.5-point favorite. Does New Orleans have a chance to cover this one, Dennis?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I think Taysom Hill is going to play a little bit better game, and he's been great on the ground running the ball, and he can execute the offense. And Sean Payton, please, don't tell me that you're going to give Sean Payton 11 points. You'd be stupid not to take that. I have to take Saints.
I would agree with that. Taking Sean Payton in double digits, that's kind of the key here. Here's a game that'll be going on during your show on Classic Rock tomorrow. Monday, 5 o'clock, Las Vegas Raiders against the Cleveland Browns. We still don't know who the quarterback will be for Cleveland. Derek Carr will go for the Raiders, allegedly. Of course, the public hears this. We're going on the Raiders. The Browns still a 3-point favorite in this one, Dennis.
I think Kareem Hunt is out of this game for sure. And that doesn't help well. That doesn't help Cleveland at all. I know the Raiders have only won one game out of their last 7 or 8, but I'm taking the Raiders in this. I feel like maybe they get up for this game for some reason, and I don't know why. But I feel like the Raiders might actually put together a game and maybe even win this one.
Yeah, I think this is a spot for the Raiders, too. I would definitely be on them. Let's do one sentence on each of the following before we get to the Bengals game. Another game tomorrow night. Vikings at Bears. Vikings 6-point favorite.
I have vowed not to bet on the Bears for the rest of the year. I hate that team so much. They have screwed me so many different ways. I want to bet the Bears just to see what new way they're going to screw me, but I'm taking Minnesota.
I'm taking Chicago, getting the points. I think I'm going against you. Minnesota just kicked their starting cornerback out of practice. I think that's a good one. Tuesday night games. Seahawks and Rams. The Rams, six and a half point favorites in this one. It's 6.5 most places.
It's a tough one, isn't it?
Yeah.
Seattle is definitely showing some improvement, although it doesn't take much to beat the Houston Texans. But Russell obviously is getting a little bit better, and hard to give up those points. And the Rams are coming off a pretty big win, so I think I would take Seattle.
Yeah, I got to take Seattle the points here too. Two more games: Washington and Philadelphia. We don't know who's playing quarterback for Washington. Looks like Jalen Hurts for Philly, although he probably should not be starting ahead of Minshew. Eagles 6.5-point favorite here.
Yeah, you might see a quarterback switch halfway through the game in this one. I mean, every other quarterback in the league seems to be iffy. You know, both of these guys are okay, but they could be swapping out in the middle of the game. So, you know, give me the Eagles. They're playing well. I think Washington is kind of done for the year, although they've had a great season.
If Heinicke starts, I'll be on the Washington in this one. But here's the main event, and a game we can hear on Classic Rock this afternoon at 4 o'clock. The Bengals and the Broncos, Joe Burrow and Teddy Bridgewater, Teddy Two Gloves himself. Broncos, 3-point favorite here.
Those two teams have met 32 times through the years, and the Broncos have won 20 times, and they've covered a lot, too. So I'm taking the Broncos, although, God, the Bengals need to win so bad. I'm taking the Broncos only because I know how fate and karma works with me, and if I take the Broncos, maybe the Bengals will win. So there you go.
We will always work against your fate and karma. We'll take the Bengals today with a puncher's chance against Teddy Two Gloves, who we love. But this is a spot I think you're getting a lot of value with the Bengals today. Dead Air Dennis Dillon, thank you for hanging tough with us and calling in at the last minute. That's why we were kind of stalling a minute ago. Classic Rock, the Bengals today, and we can listen to you every afternoon, right?
That's right, brother. Every afternoon between 3 and 7 o'clock, right after Beer Man, the 9 to 5 no repeat work on Classic Rock 92.1. We're having so much fun. It's live. It's local. There are DJs here in Lexington on the air. And, you know, that matters to a lot of people. We just did a survey, and And it's the survey showed that people really do care about live and local DJs talking about Lexington. And it's just a lot of fun. We're just having a great time beating the pants off some of the other stations in town and having fun with our listeners. So, yeah, thank you for that plug.
Dead Air Dennis, may the winners be yours today, my friend.
May the winners be ours, Brad.
Amen.
Everyone.
Amen, brother. We'll talk soon. Thank you, sir. That's Dead Air Dennis Dillon. We are running late. Make sure to tune in to us here on this station, not next Saturday, but next Sunday for our Christmas day after Christmas. We will not be here on the 25th. We will be here on the 26th. And don't forget our weeknight show on the new Sports Zone station, weeknights at 7. Until the next time, as always, may the winners be yours.